pain is a pretty broad term. It can mean so many things to so many people. When you think of pain, what comes to your mind? Younger people might think of the pain of growing up, the pain of upheaval when moving school or moving friendship groups. If you're a bit older, you might think of chronic aches and pains that won't go away, physical pains. There's the emotional pain of grief, bereavement and loss, the loss of a friend, or the loss of an opportunity or a career. Pain to you could be the pain of a relationship falling apart, or even the pain felt by others which you take upon yourself, the pain you see your friends living with, or you see the refugees on your television seeking to escape from, or even the pain of those still suffering the after effects of the earthquake in Nepal. The spectrum of what we can mean by the word pain is so wide-ranging, it would be physically impossible to cover those issues today, even if our service was 3 hours long. So instead, I want to focus on one example in the knowledge that God's heart for one sufferer is exactly the same as his heart for another, even though the pain that they suffer could be worlds apart. So seeing as this is Leprosy Sunday, and we've already had an all-age talk or an introduction to the theme on leprosy, I think it's fitting to focus on the disease of leprosy as our example and those suffering with it. And particularly, I want to look at what having leprosy meant in biblical times, because the pain suffered by lepers then and now goes far beyond the physical disabilities brought on by the disease. If you were a leper in Jesus' day, you would have been an outcast. Similar, in fact, to how some people can treat lepers today when they're unaware of what the disease really is, which we talked about earlier. The Jewish law in the Old Testament, from Leviticus chapter 13, demanded that all lepers were to live outside of the camp of Israel, away from their family and their loved ones. What's more, they had to call out unclean wherever they went and were forbidden from approaching people. When you think of leper, that old image of somebody walking around the street with a cloth over their face, ringing a bell, shouting unclean, unclean, might come to you. But that actually comes from this passage in Leviticus. Apart from the bell, that is what lepers had to do. If you became struck with leprosy, you wouldn't just lose your health, but you'd also lose your friends and your family and your livelihood, because it was a shameful disease to have. People saw it as defiling. You wouldn't buy a piece of work made by a leper back then, because you didn't know, people thought the disease could spread that way. People thought it was a dirty disease, but not just physically dirty in that it made you ill, but it made you spiritually unclean as well. It meant that in Israel you wouldn't be able to take part in the Jewish Passover or any of the other religious festivals. You wouldn't even be allowed into the temple to worship. You were outside of everything. You were completely shunned, and you had to rely on charity alone to survive. This, then, was the situation that the man in our reading from Luke was in when he approached Jesus. Now, this healing is recorded in Matthew and Mark as well, but we get a lot more detail from Luke, who is the doctor, from his telling of it. Luke describes him not just as a man with leprosy, but a man covered with leprosy. In some older translations, he's full of leprosy. And this could be Luke's medical eye noticing the degree to which this man suffered compared to the other gospel writers. It's shocking, then, that this man was found within the city when he should have been outside. He must have been absolutely desperate to have come inside the city walls. And we see that he comes straight to Jesus and knows who he is. It could be that the reason he is risking being within the city is because he knows Jesus is there. And we can see this desperation in how he falls face down at his feet. Have you or somebody you know ever been so pained, either physically or emotionally, that you'd do anything to make it better? And the response we see from Jesus in this culture is extraordinary. When lepers are shunned and wouldn't be touched with a barge pole if they had barges in Israel, he reaches out and touches the leper physically. Now, being as very leprous as he was, it was very likely this man hadn't been touched except by other lepers in many, many years because of the uncleanness and the shame that comes with the disease. But Jesus, being full of compassion, physically reaches out to him. And it's so important that we remember ourselves when we're suffering, that no matter how dirty or unclean we feel or how much pain we're in, that Jesus will have compassion on us. And not only that, but that he reaches out to us in our pain. He doesn't leave us to suffer alone. And notice from the passage that the leprous man didn't say, "Jesus, if you can heal me," but he asked only if Jesus was willing to heal. He had the faith that Jesus could heal him. And in fact, Jesus has that ability and is willing to heal all of us. He was willing in the Garden of Gethsemane, even when he was in such distress that he shed tears of blood for us, to take our sin and our pain and our sickness on himself to the cross. So if we know that, we need not worry that he is able to, or even that he's willing to take our sin away. And similarly, we need not worry that he is able or willing to take away our pain. So I could just end there. We've seen that Jesus is able and willing to relieve us of any pain that we have if we just ask him and if we let him. But what happens when things don't work out like that? What about when you say to God, "If you choose, you can make me clean," but nothing happens? The Christian writer Adrian Plass wrote a very alternative version to our reading today, which you may or may not have heard, who, drawing on some of the things that Christians say in our efforts to comfort one another when God doesn't take our pain straight away. So I'll read that for you. And it's obviously from Adrian's copy of the King James Version of the Bible, so it's quite old-fashioned language. "A man with leprosy cometh, and kneeleth before him, and saith, 'Lord, if thou art willing, thou canst make me clean.' Jesus reacheth out his hand, and toucheth the man. 'I am willing,' he saith, 'be clean.' And behold, Jesus strolleth away rejoicing. But the leper haileth him with a loud voice, saying, 'Excuse me, mayhap it hath escaped thy notice, but I am still an leper, and small point I know, but important to me.' Jesus hisseth through his teeth with vexation, and replieth, 'Knowest thou not that I am heavily into holistic healing? Good heavens! Thou must indeed be well naive if thou thinkest that healing concerneth thy body only. Keepest thou not up with current literature on the subject?' The man saith, 'All I knoweth was that I was an leper 5 minutes ago, and behold, I am still an leper.' 'Well,' asserteth Jesus, 'despite thine complaints, thou art in a very real sense no longer an leper. There existeth a number of possibilities, none of which, I might add, constituteth a failure for my part or the management team as to why you do not receive said healing. 1, thou lackest faith, highly likely. 2, thou hast failed to claim thy healing, a common one that. 3, thou hast been specially chosen to benefit others through thine own suffering. Congratulations. 4, thine healing is to be in the form of death. 5, thou art called, but not chosen. Tough. Anyway, I must departeth. I am up for a big catering contract, and the size of the budget challengeth me greatly. He goeth, and the leper gathereth himself together, and repeateth over and over to himself, I am not an leper, I am not an leper, I am not an leper. And behold, from that day forth, he becameth known throughout that country as the mad leper. And as that story shows us, it can get even more difficult when our prayers aren't answered than when we are just suffering and we haven't prayed. But looking at the Bible, we can find some ideas, some tools to help when in those times, for what reasons we can't explain, our pain isn't taken away from us. I'd like to have a little look at that now. Firstly, Paul writes that all things arise through Christ, and yet he himself knew pain and suffering just as much as anybody else. He was bound, beaten, and lashed, and was locked away for years in prison. And this is because we aren't given all things in this life, in this world, but some we receive in the next. Jesus' victory over sin and death and sickness on the cross is complete, but it will only come to fruition to its full realization in heaven. In Revelation, the final book of the Bible, John is told that in heaven, God will wipe every tear from our eyes, that there will be no more death or suffering or crying or pain. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus won for those who choose to call him Savior eternal life in heaven with brand new bodies. But unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. We still live in the old order of things, as Paul puts it, this now and not yet time of limbo, when we're waiting on the edge of our seats for God's kingdom to come, knowing full well that Jesus has the victory and that death is defeated, but unable to quite taste that victory in full here and now. When we see sickness healed and lives restored through Jesus and his Holy Spirit, we see Christ's kingdom breaking through into our broken world, and we catch a glimpse of how things are going to be. And while this might not be that much of a comfort to those suffering here and now, it's definitely worth remembering that just around the corner, a pain-free life is waiting for us. And sometimes we feel, when we have pain, that it sucks away our faith from us. It literally steals our faith, either be it physical or emotional. And in those situations, we can almost cringe away from talking to God about it. Even if we feel angry with God, we think it would be wrong to complain to him or to shout to him or to cry to him. And instead, we can just turn away and feel hopeless in ourselves. But the thing is, the Bible is full of people crying out to God in desperation. In fact, in the Old Testament, there are two whole books dedicated to it. There's the book of Job and the book of Lamentations. God is big enough to take any anger you have, to take any disappointment, and to take any doubt. How could you say to someone that your pain is stealing your faith if you're actively shouting to God about it? How can it be possible for you to lose your faith in God if you keep coming back to him again and again and again on the issue? The Christian faith is all about a relationship between us and God. And as long as you aren't ignoring him, as long as that dialogue is still going, that relationship is still strong, that faith is still there. And there's one more thing I'd like to say before I finish. Ministry from the Holy Spirit, which we're very blessed in this church to have available to us nearly every Sunday, either in the morning and or in the evening, is one of the greatest gifts God has given us here on the earth. His ministry of healing and helping and restoring us. Jesus has given us, by the power of his Spirit, the help that his people need when we're in pain to build us up and to make us the people that he chose us to be. But we're also called to be a people of faith. And if our faith is purely based on what God has or hasn't done for us this week, if God has healed us or not as soon as we've asked it, then that's not really faith at all. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His sacrifice on the cross is the same yesterday and today and forever, regardless of if we are healed or not. Job, in his namesake book in the Bible, has everything he holds dear taken away from him. And the words that he gives his friends who talk to him about this, which are echoed in our first song this morning, are, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the Lord." What he's getting at is that our personal situation doesn't change who God is, and it doesn't make him any less worthy of our love. It doesn't make him any less worthy of our worship, or any less deserving of the daily sacrifices we're called to give him. I started my sermon with the leper, so being Leprosy Sunday, I think I'll finish with the leper too. Do you remember from the reading Jesus reaching out to the leper and touching him? Jesus reaching out in compassion to the leper, who is in the most unimaginable physical disability, but also emotional pain as well. And do you remember Jesus saying he both wanted to heal him and was able to heal him and chose to? Well, even if we don't experience it physically, we know that that is Jesus' desire for all of us. And he's able to do this because of his sacrifice on the cross, because of his death and resurrection. So if you choose to accept Jesus' sacrifice for you and ask his forgiveness for the things you've done wrong and call him Lord in this life, then you will live in the light and life of his victory in the next, even if we can't quite see it now. Amen.